This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 24th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 109. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest. Storm season for John Horgan. Highlights from the Premier's penultimate news conference of the fall session of the BC Legislature. BC lawmakers offer tributes to late Spirit of the West frontman John Mann. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or were there some comedic corporate communications blunders last week, such as the South Dakota government's Meth, We're On It ad campaign? Then there was Prince Andrew's shambolic interview about his friendship with dead molester Jeffrey Epstein. Tesla Motors' Elon Musk and his ugly Cybertruck with the windows that aren't yet shatterproof. And then there is the new Trudeau cabinet. Mona Forche, she's the Minister of Middle Class Prosperity. What does that mean? Well, she told the Globe and Mail that she doesn't really know what it means. She doesn't know how to define middle class. But she sure can define prosperity. She's an MP, which means she'll be paid almost $180,000 a year, and her cabinet stipend means she'll be over the $260,000 mark. That's prosperity in action. The other sore spot? Well, there's Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan, who appeared at the annual Halifax Security Conference, where he said that, quote, "We don't consider China as an adversary," end quote. Sajjan is the Vancouver South Liberal MP who lives in posh Vancouver Quadra. We can only wonder if he reads his briefing notes or attends intelligence meetings. The arbitrary detention of Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor by China, Communist China's 70th anniversary military parade on October 1st, the jailing of a million Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang simply because they're Muslim, and the ongoing turmoil in Hong Kong, and China's meddling in Canadian politics. Add it all up, and it should be enough for Sajjan to wake up and smell the coffee and to call China what it is, an adversary. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines from around the Pacific Rim. In the South China Morning Post, China won't give up its state-led economic model, top trade negotiator Liu He says. China has no plans to weaken the role of its state-owned enterprises, a change the United States has stipulated as one of the key demands in the ongoing trade war negotiations. The comments came in an article by Vice Premier Liu He, China's top trade negotiator, published by the Communist Party mouthpiece People's Daily. China's biggest trade partners, the U.S. and the European Union, say the preferential treatment state-owned enterprises receive distorts China's economy and creates an uneven playing field for foreign firms. Hu wrote that China is transitioning from a centralized planned economy to a socialist market economy. In the Japan Times, Kyoto reports, a labor standards office has concluded that the suicide in 2017 of an employee at a unit of Mitsubishi Electric Corp. was work-related, recognizing that he did more than 100 hours of overtime per month while in a supervisory position. And the New Zealand Herald on the 20 worst baby names of 2019, according to Parents.com. From Sincere, a misspelling of Sincere, to Chardonnay, a common cheap wine for Kiwi lasses to get legless on, the parenting site's list of the worst girl names will make you cringe. Meanwhile, in the unpopular boys section, one Simpsons character's name makes an appearance, as well as the extravagant spelling of some rather simple names. The worst girls' names include Any, Mattel, Pansy, Shy, Starlet, and Vegas. The worst boys' names? Well, they're not much better. Axis, Cletus, Cub, Danger, King Messiah, Manson, and Pinches. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Oregonian, Kate Williams reports, Oregonians are recycling less while generating more waste, report says. In 2017, the last year for which data was available, Oregon residents recycled just over 27% of their waste and composted a little more than 9%. The combined rate of 36.6% seems good, more than a third of all waste being diverted from a landfill, but that number represents a 5% decrease from the amount diverted in 2014, according to a State of Recycling report in Oregon. The lone standout from the dropping statistics is for containers covered by Oregon's bottle bill, which increased the deposit for those containers from 5 cents to 10 cents in 2017. The report said recycling rates for those specific types of containers increased significantly. In the Seattle Times, Christine Claridge and Ryan Blethen report, Step into the Nut Hut, a crusade to help men detect testicular cancer early. Relatives of Jameson Jones started the Family Jewels Foundation after the 20-year-old died in 2010 of testicular cancer. The foundation calls its annual fundraising event the Ball Crawl. It includes beer tastings at various breweries around Kenmore, and visitors are invited to step into the Nut Hut, a small enclosed tent structure where people can palpitate a realistic feeling scrotum to practice detecting deeply embedded masses. It's also a private place where men can do a quick self-exam. Each year, about 174,650 men in the United States are diagnosed with prostate cancer, more than 9,500 with testicular cancer, and more than 2,600 with breast cancer, and more than 2,000 with penile cancer. Many of these cancers could be caught early. And this week in the Breaker.News, these headlines. The scandal at the British Columbia legislature, 1 year on. Law firm defending BC legislature's disgraced ex-sergeant-at-arms bills taxpayers $50,000. Investment firms seek BC court help to enforce Chinese judgment against owners of 7 lower mainland properties. Finances postpone Vancouver's New Year's Eve fireworks. Read the stories behind these headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. John Horgan and the BC NDP minority government, supported by Andrew Weaver and the Green Party, are over the hump. The next scheduled election is almost 22 months away. But without a new contract with BC teachers and a looming shutdown of Metro Vancouver's Coast Mountain Bus Company, not to mention economic uncertainty on the horizon, Premier Horgan faces challenges. The happy warrior is keeping a brave face. Horgan was in an upbeat mood when he held a news conference in the West Wing of the Parliament Buildings on November 21st. It was the penultimate news conference of the fall sitting of the legislature, and the Breaker.News was there. Here are some of the highlights. That was BC Premier John Horgan at his weekly news conference on November 21st. Excuse me, I'm not at my best. I've been gone for a month. I've been drunk since I left. These so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink. I need home for a rest. November 20th, John Fraser Mann went home for a rest. The 57-year-old leader of Spirit of the West died after a lengthy battle with early-onset Alzheimer's. The North Shore folk rock band was the soundtrack for many a party across Canada and toured extensively during their heyday. They stopped touring in April 2016 as Mann's symptoms accelerated. On November 21st, in the BC Legislature, BC Liberal Jean Thornthwaite and the NDP's Bob Deeth and Bowen Ma offered their condolences and tributes.
Member North Vancouver Seymour.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Canada lost a music icon yesterday. John Mann died at the age of 57. I went to school with John and his brothers in West Van. John's career spanned nearly 40 years, and as he's best known as the front man of the folk rock band Spirit of the West. And his manager and bandmate said, his songs and his lyrics particularly will be remembered for generations. He had such a gift for finding the universal in every day. He died of early onset Alzheimer's. Our condolences go out to his family, his friend, and his bandmates. And I'd just like to highlight a couple of lines from his most popular song, Home for a Rest. I'm knackered again, come on sleep, take me soon, and don't lift up my head till the 12 bells at noon. Rest in peace, John.
Member Maple Ridge Mission.
Also wanted to echo the actual wonderful words from the member from North Van Seymour. I knew John as well. John Mann was an amazing, incredible talent. I was at his final show at the Commodore, and I can tell you, in my life, I've never had a more emotional experience than watching John. Watching John be able to forget his words and read them, but remember the music. And the music stuck with him, and he was able to sing those words and have the music. And it was such a profound moment, and such an amazing man was taken away from us way too early. So thank you so much for your words for that.
Member North Vancouver Lonsdale.
You'll have to excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I'm not at my best. You see, I've been gone for a month, and I've been drunk since I left. These so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink. I need home for a rest. You see, Mr. Speaker, unlike the member for North Vancouver Seymour and the member for Maple Ridge Mission, I did not know John Mann personally. But I've lost track of how many times as a university student studying engineering at UBC that I have sung to or listened to that amazing song by Spirit of the West after many, many long nights of studying. This anthem for many university students was written by this incredible band, a highly popular Canadian folk rock band from North Vancouver. I'm so proud to be a member, one of the many members here, North Vancouver Lonsdale, that's me, North Vancouver Seymour, and West Vancouver Capilano, who represent areas of North Vancouver. Following his passing yesterday, people all over the world will mourn him and remember him, knowing that his work will live on for generations to come. At 57 years old, it appears that for John Mann, it was his time to come home for a rest. Thank you.
That was BC Liberal MLA Jean Thornthwaite and NDP MLAs Bob Deeth and Bowen Ma in the BC Legislature on November 21st.
Bye.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to CKNW radio host John McComb, who announced that after almost 50 years in radio, he will retire from the morning show on December 13th. I first heard John McComb's voice when he was the PA announcer at Vancouver Canucks games at the Pacific Coliseum in the 1970s. He was also, in 2012, the voice of my documentary series for CKNW and the Chorus Radio Network, The Investigators. I was honored to share a nomination with John McComb in 2013 for a Jack Webster Award. Not everyone shares Port Boss Robin Sylvester's enthusiasm. In this segment of The Investigators, we hear from the opponents.
The BC government's Pacific Gateway strategy through 2020 says $22 billion was committed since 2005, and another $25 billion of investment will be needed to finish the job in and around major ports in Vancouver and Prince Rupert. But how much is too much development? Is the almighty dollar sign pushing aside concerns about the environment?
You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 24th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on November 24th in 1971, hijacker D.B. Cooper parachuted from Northwest Orient Airlines Flight 305 with $200,000 in ransom money? Despite some credible leads, the mystery has never been solved. The late Kent Spencer of the Vancouver Province reported in 2011 that a man calling himself D.B. Cooper wrote a letter to the editor in 1971 that said, quote, "The composite drawing on page 3, as suspected by the FBI, does not represent the truth. I enjoyed the Grey Cup game. I'm leaving Vancouver," end quote. It was signed by D.B. Cooper. Calgary defeated Toronto 14-11 in the November 28, 1971 game at Empire Stadium. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. And playing us out this week are the fight song for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Hamilton Tiger Cats' famous Oscoiwi cheer, the two teams in the Grey Cup game.
Let's fight down the field, hit 'em hard. For we want a touchdown team and we want a chance to scream, so fight on.